Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We are very happy to continue our weekly feature on the Roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It's our chance to check in with the Humanities Councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight Pennsylvania Humanities and their upcoming program based on the book, bestseller cinema presentation in Haverford, Pennsylvania, which takes place on November 16th. Film critic Bill Wine joins us to discuss the psychological difference between reading a book and viewing a film, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Bill, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Bill has been writing about and teaching film throughout his career, serving as a movie critic for magazines, newspapers, radio, and television, and online. He served as the movie critic for Fox Television for 12 years, earning 8 Emmy Award nominations and winning 3 Emmy Awards. He's been a critic for the CBS station KYW News Radio in Philadelphia since 2001. KYW News Radio, you give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
And thank you for the plug.
I grew up on KYW News Radio. One of the reasons I wanted to be in radio was listening to KYW. So,
yeah, they've been there a long time.
Give us a sense of how this particular project came about of discussing books and film and that shared experience.
Well, I think this really grew out of the very simple response I had, being on the movie beat for, I was going to say years, but decades is more like it, of hearing people, including myself, by the way, I'm not above this, coming out of a movie that they've seen, which was based on a book they had previously read, and immediately comparing them. You know, in the lobby, hearing people say, well, it sure wasn't as good as the book. And I think it grew out of me saying it, hearing it, responding to it, and realizing that when we do that, when we compare books and movies, it's human nature, we all do it, but it doesn't really make any sense because we're talking about cinematic apples and literary oranges. The way we experience a book is so different than the way we experience a movie that just because they have a plot in common doesn't mean they're the same thing. And it was my way of, I guess, reminding people that they're not the same, and that just because a movie deviates from a book doesn't mean that's a negative thing. That's usually a way of improving it. And I guess what I'm saying in a long-winded way is an adaptation of a book into a movie is a translation, literally a translation into movies, and a lot of what you read has to disappear for the movie to work.
Doesn't it often, for the viewer, depend on which they have experienced first? In the sense of, for some of us, if you grew up seeing The Wizard of Oz and then you read The Wizard of Oz, I'm sorry, I like the movie better.
Well, I agree with you that that's true, but it seems to me in an informal survey I've been taking my entire life, it is so much more common for someone to read the book and then see the movie. This is not scientific, but I feel as if most people watching a movie of a book they haven't read don't then run to the book. I just don't find that that's true. Whereas best-selling books have become movies start off with the core audience of all those people who've read the book. So while I think what you just described happens, it seems to happen much less frequently than the other way around, which is a best-selling novel turns into a movie, and then people, all those people who read the novel flock to the movie to compare. That's what we do inevitably. And I think what we forget is that movies and books hit us in very different ways. I mean, the glib way to put it is, in a way, movies are for the eyes and ears, books are for the mind, both are for the heart. But they get to the heart a different way. And things that work in books, things that you admire tremendously, have to immediately be jettisoned when it's turned into a movie, because sitting in a theater and looking at a screen for 2 hours is so different than reading words on a page once a week for 6 or 7 weeks to complete a book.
John Irving was just on our program. He was part of the Williamstown Film Festival, which is going on this week, and had a discussion on Wednesday night about film adaptation. And one of the things he said in our conversation was, look, you have, when in writing the novel, he had almost 900 pages of manuscript pages of writing the novel and 115 for the screenplay when he was finished. So obviously you were going to get a distillation, but that it is possible once you decide what aspect of the story you want to tell, that you can tell that story.
Yeah, I mean, that numerical comparison you just did, if that doesn't tell you why 85% of a novel disappears when it goes to the movie screen, that's why. I mean, you're taking all that information and distilling it down. But I'll tell you, here's the way I look at the process. For me, when you read a book, you make the movie in your mind. You decide what the characters look like. You decide what the setting looks like. You are the director of the movie in your mind. When you go to the theater, it is almost impossible for the movie you see to live up to what you already decided it should look like. And by the way, I really think this is the way best-selling books become movies. I don't believe that the Alfred Hitchcocks and the Steven Spielbergs and the Martin Scorseses read a book and say, I want to bring this to the screen. I believe they look at it and they read it and say, hey, this will make a good Spielberg movie. This will make a good Scorsese movie. This will make a good Hitchcock movie. And they make their movie. And they improve on the book by leaving things out, which is the part I think that make... I know John Irving has had some real issues with some of the movie versions of his books. I know he had his name removed from one, but I'm not sure he's the best judge, because what he's going through is saying, wow, I slaved over that paragraph, I slaved over that character, and in comes a glib screenwriter who just does away with it. But frankly, that's the way you have to make movies. You have to get rid of those 700 pages that don't quite fit in a 115-page script.
So give us some examples. In your opinion, what are some of the successful film adaptations?
Okay. Let's take a book that everybody was reading that became a movie, Jaws, which is a lot of movie critics consider the best edited movie ever made. But the reason it worked is Spielberg said to his screenwriters, I want to get rid of all the subplots. This is a one-dimensional chase-the-shark movie. Get rid of the mafia subplot. Get rid of the infidelity subplot, both of which were in the book and worked fine on the page, and he made it better. Somebody asked me on another show recently what I thought was the movie that was closest to its book. And without really thinking about it, I said To Kill a Mockingbird. And I thought and I went back and read it again. It's very close to the book experience, and there's an example of a movie that by sticking close to the book worked on the screen. But most of the time we're changing things. Joseph Heller, when he did personal appearances about Catch-22, somebody asked him how much of Catch-22, which I consider a masterpiece of an anti-war book, was on the movie screen, and he said, oh, maybe 10%. That's why the movie works. They got rid of so, and I've never heard an author say that. He said, they got rid of 90% of my book, and they made a good movie out of it, and that's what you have to do. Another successful movie from a book that stuck close to it was The Godfather. But I think the reason The Godfather worked by sticking close to it is when Mario Puzo wrote The Godfather, he knew it was going to be a movie, and it almost reads like a screenplay. The problem with a lot of movies, though, that come from books is we get distracted by things we weren't distracted in the book. Example, The Da Vinci Code. All we could talk about was Tom Hanks' haircut. And
right.
A lot of the book disappeared. Or look at The Great Gatsby. Wonderful book. We've had four versions. I'm not sure any of them have worked. No one has exactly found how to translate, and that's the word, translate F. Scott Fitzgerald's book. And that's why we're going to keep getting versions of it till and if somebody gets it right.
When you have an adaptation like The Hobbit, which now is going to be three films to do one book, does that help?
It helps them make money. I don't think it helps in any other way. I really found the first Hobbit movie insufferable, and it lost me immediately. The thought of sitting through two more of those depresses me deeply. But
well, even in the Harry
things.
Even in the Harry Potter movies, I mean, in the final, as the books got longer, they said, okay, we're going to divide these make two movies out of one book. And
you know what? I really like the Harry Potter series. I thought the movies worked. The books are wonderful, too. I still believe that carving that last book into two movies, what, no matter how they masked it, was just a way of getting two admissions paid rather than one. But you know what? Then I went, I thought both movies worked anyway. So if you, at least you're going to make two good movies and make twice as much money, I can't really complain. I don't think the ultimate motivation there was artistic. I think it was commercial, but I got to give them credit. They made two good movies out of it. I thought the level of quality of the Harry Potter series, almost without exception, was very, very high.
Yeah, and I think people who loved and adored those books came out happy, for the
came
most part.
Came out happy, and I think, by the way, it seems to me informal, again, that the Harry Potter series goes against the rule I said before. Most people who see a movie won't go back to the book. I hear plenty of comments from parents that their kids, after seeing the Harry Potter movies, did go back to the books. So there's one case where seeing a good movie chases you back and reads a book you might have missed the first time.
The Pennsylvania Humanities Council and Bill Wine present, based on the book, Bestseller Cinema in Haverford, Pennsylvania, on November 16th. To learn more, you can go to pahumanities.org, pahumanities.org. Bill Wine, a great pleasure to have you on the program this morning. Thanks so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.